The holidays are all about sharing with family. Meals, couches, stories, grandma's secret pecan pie recipe. And now, you can also share a cart with Instacart's family carts. Everyone can add what they want to one group cart from wherever they are. So you don't have to go from room to room to find out who wants cranberry sauce, or who should get mini marshmallows for the yams, or collecting votes for sugar cookies versus shortbread. Just share a cart and then share the meals and the moments. Download the Instacart app and get delivery in as fast as 30 minutes. Plus, enjoy free delivery on your first three orders. Service fees and terms apply.
This holiday, BMW has reunited three members of the family at the BMW Roadhome Sales Event. The Agile X3, engineered for any adventure. The plug-in hybrid X5, commanding the streets with unmatched presence. And the all-electric i4, charging into the future with impeccable performance. Hurry in to find what powers your journey at the BMW Roadhome Sales Event. BMW, the ultimate driving machine. Hurry in for exceptional offers through January 2nd. Visit BMWUSA.com for details.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Live from New Orleans, getting ready for the Commanders and the Saints. We're in the French Quarter. Grant and Danny on the Fan. Sunday's going to be fun, but we got a lot of sports between now and then to preview for you. Let's do it right now on the Blitz, the Caps, the NFL, and the Commanders. The show is brought to you today and every day by the law firm Condori & Murat.
As Washington continues to build the foundation of success on and off the field this season, it's time for you to plan for your future as well. As the exclusive sponsor of our show, the law firm of Condori & Murat can help you update your last will and testament or set up a revocable trust for you and your family. Schedule a free consultation with their estate planning attorneys today by visiting kmlawyers.com and be sure to tell them that Grant and Danny sent you. That's kmlawyers.com.
The Capitals have the most points in the Eastern Conference, 42 through 28 games. They are at this moment the best team in hockey in a points-per-game basis. That is where we'll start the Blitz. And to Blitz with us, we welcome onto the show the breakout young star for the Capitals, Connor McMichael, 26 points, 28 games, a plus 10. He's been marvelous. Connor, congrats on what has been an incredible season for you, not only on the ice, but obviously having a baby at home as well. What a couple of months, man. You guys are rolling right now.
Oh, yeah. Thanks for having me on, first of all. But, yeah, it's been a lot of fun. It's teams winning hockey games, and, yeah, we're just enjoying each other's presence.
What's the biggest difference between this year and last year?
Honestly, I think it's just we got a lot of guys this year that have a lot to prove, and, you know, guys that are in different situations, whether you're a younger guy or a guy in a contract year who really wants to win hockey games to help out their future. So I think got a lot of guys are bought in, and we're just having a ton of fun on and off the ice, and, yeah, it's been tons of fun.
Connor, so much has been made about the new additions and all of the players that were brought in this offseason that have been excellent, and I understand that, but the leaps that you've made and that Alexi Protas, who scored twice last night, have made, to me, is the story of the season. What do you attribute your play to? I mean, you've found a completely different gear than we saw before this season.
Yeah, I think it's just confidence, to be honest with you. I think I had a really good summer of training, and I just got off on the right foot in training camp, and I kind of touched on it in previous interviews. Once you score a few goals, your confidence just kind of snowballs, and it just keeps on growing. And especially when you're helping the team win hockey games, it's huge, and you just keep growing and trying to find your game and prove that you belong in the NHL.
Connor McMichael tied with Alex Ovechkin for the team lead with 15 goals on the season. The Caps, the best team in hockey by way of points per game. He joins us now on Grant and Danny. What about Protas? It just seems to me like he's skating way better and really worked on that part of his game. But, man, oh, man, he's playing his butt off.
Yeah, I mean, Pros looked great this year. I think when he has the puck on his stick, it's hard for other guys in the league to get it off him. He just uses his big body, and he's got really great vision. He can thread the needle. So Pro's kind of in the same boat as me. We're both younger guys trying to find our way and prove that we can play in the top six and help teams win. So, yeah, Pro's been a huge help for this group this year, and I'm really happy for him.
How comfortable are you with your line mates, and kind of how long does it take to build that chemistry where it becomes second nature, like it looks like to the layperson like myself?
Yeah, for me, Doobie and Willie, we were put together on the first day of training camp, and we had a really good camp, a good couple preseason games, and I think kind of like I touched on with myself with the confidence, I think we were able to score a couple goals and make a few nice plays, and I think it just snowballed, and we were able to get more comfortable with each other, and playing with those two guys makes it really easy for me, and yeah, I just enjoy it a lot.
Connor McMichael's on a line with Tom Wilson and Pierre-Luc Dubon. That's been the most consistent, best line for the Capitals circuit to circuit on the season. Spencer Carberry is a guy who may well be in the running for the Jack Adams Award as Coach of the Year. I've just become so enamored with his style. I love the post-game speeches we see on social media. What has made him so successful early on here in just his second season in the NHL?
Yeah, I think he's a really good communicator. He's really good at getting the boys fired up when we need it. And, yeah, he just distills a lot of confidence in guys. And he really cares about you. You can tell off the ice. And I think that just helps build the relationships and trust. And guys want to go out and win for him. And, you know, he's doing amazing. I had him down in Hershey. And I always knew that he was capable of being a really good head coach. And he's really starting to show it, and he's helping our team out a lot.
Connor, are you like, I'm sure you guys have access to whatever information that you'd want for the most part, right? Are you a stats guy? Meaning, like, I mean, obviously you count goals and assists like everybody else does, but are you going, oh, nice, my Corsi last night was 54? Is there something that you look at that you care about, or is it just how you felt?
No, not really. I don't like paying attention to those advanced stats too much. I don't really understand them. But I'm more of just the normal stats, the goals, assists, you know, just making good defensive plays. And, yeah, more just how I felt on the ice that night.
Connor McMichael of the Capitals on Grant and Danny. How about just the fact that you guys are where you are in the standings right now? I mean, it's early, so there's no banner given out or anything. But I mean, do you find yourself kind of feeling prideful about that, or caring at all to look at the standings and go, oh, we're a point up on New Jersey, or we're five in the clear of Carolina or whatever?
Yeah, for sure. You do pay attention that, especially with us, we've been on a pretty good tear there as of late, especially on the road. So those are things that we take a lot of pride in. We want to be the best team in the league and be the hardest team to play against. So we're for sure keeping an eye on that. And you're not scoreboard watching that much, but at this point of the year, we're just focusing on winning ourselves, and the standings will play out how they play out.
Connor, great to catch up with you, man. Appreciate it. Have an awesome weekend. Happy holidays to you, and keep it up, bud. It's been a blast to watch you guys.
Yeah, thanks, guys. Merry Christmas.
You too, pal.
You too, bro.
There he goes. That is Connor McMichael. Sorry about all the goals he's scoring, by the way. I know that's probably annoying to some people.
Point per game pace, just about.
Yep.
For Connor McMichael. He's playing like a star.
He really is. Like, they're like, oh, that's nice. No. That's different. That's another level beyond that. Let's get the old blitz rolling here. A little NFL action, please. Our guy Zach Kruger joins us to break down the National Football League. Let's start with a couple of the biggest games first here, Zachary. Lions, Bills, that is a massive tilt. A couple of top seeds in their respective conferences getting after it. What do we need to know?
Yeah, I mean, obviously, you know, guys, like you just mentioned, Danny, big game between an AFC and NFC powerhouse. As far as injuries go for this game, the Lions, unfortunately for the Bills, are entering in pretty healthy here. But the Bills got two guys who we're keeping an eye on just to see if they're going to be able to make it back. One guy who we know is coming back is wide receiver Keon Coleman, a rookie wide receiver for the Bills, started 8 of 9 games this year. He's missed the last 3 games with a wrist injury, but before that injury, he actually had a nice little 3-game stretch. He had caught 10 passes for 216 yards and a touchdown on 16 targets. He had 125 yards against the Titans. He's obviously a key player in that Bills passing attack. You know, including Amari Cooper and obviously Khalil Shakir. But getting him back will be huge for the Bills in a game that's expected to be a shootout against the Lions. And then another one we're watching is tight end Dalton Kincaid. He's been a full participant in practice this week. He hasn't played since week 9 now. Kincaid has not matched the production that he had as a rookie, just 34 catches, 356 yards, and 2 touchdowns this season. But he's one of those guys, you know, he's a first-round talent. He's a guy who can put up the big game at any moment. In a game like this against the Lions, you want to have all hands on deck. So keep an eye out for Dalton Kincaid, officially questionable, but hopefully someone else will have on the field and available if the Bills need him.
Zach Kruger is with us here on our Beltway Blitz, Roto World Football. How about the Steelers-Eagles game? I could not figure out who to pick, and I'm not even talking about against the spread, just straight up. I know Pittsburgh's a dog, but I kind of like Tomlin catching points. This is going to be a fun game in Philly.
Yeah, it could be a fun game. Points could be hard to come by for the Steelers. They're not expected to have George Pickens in this one. He had a grade 2 hamstring injury that he actually suffered last Friday. You know, injuries late in the week are certainly bad for a team. So George Pickens missed that last game that they played in week 14, already on pace to probably miss week 15 as well. And it was actually Scotty Miller who led the all Steelers receivers in receiving yards last week. So points are going to be hard to come by for the Steelers, particularly through the air. We'll see what Najee Harris and Jalen Warren can turn out on the ground. But, you know, and then for the Eagles, the side of this conversation is less about injuries and more so about the continuity between A.J. Brown and Jalen Hurts and whether or not they can get on the same page after A.J. Brown kind of publicly came after Jalen Hurts for not targeting him enough over the last few weeks. So we'll see what happens there. Certainly a fun interstate rivalry between two teams with a lot to play for. So we'll see how that goes. But the matchup is going to be one to watch. I think it's going to be a physical, possibly a low-scoring game, again, with the Steelers just down their top weapon and Pickens.
At the tone, tell me about the Buccaneers and Chargers. That is a big game as well. Sort of sneaky in terms of its big gameness, if that's even a phrase that I'm going to turn right there. I got my eyeball on that one. Buccaneers needed, obviously. Chargers trying to stay in the postseason. What can you tell us?
Yeah, Buccaneers the ones really playing for the postseason. Obviously, the Chargers too, having to compete with the Broncos and then the Chiefs, who already had a division basically wrapped up. But Buccaneers, they're going to need all hands on deck too. No pun intended. Bucky Irving left last week with a back injury after just a few snaps. He did not practice all week, which is a bad sign. But Todd Bowles said he's already questionable, so we'll see what happens there. If Irving can't go, it's going to be Rashad White sliding back in that starting role. Last week against the Raiders, 17 for 90 and 1 on the ground. Also caught 2 passes for 19 yards and a touchdown. A dark horse to watch there if Irving is out, of Sean Tucker. We've seen him break out one big game this year and then kind of fade back into the ether as that running back 3 on the depth chart. He doesn't get as many looks as maybe he should. If Irving's out, he could work into the mix as well. Mike Evans, still dealing with a hamstring injury, not getting a lot of practice in, but has been hot in his 3 games since returning. 17 catches, 350 yards. And a touchdown in those 3 games. And then for the Chargers, real quick, Ladd McConkey didn't suit up last week with a knee and shoulder injury. We know he's one of the top rookie receivers in the league this year, 58 for 815 and 4 through the air. He's been limited the last 2 days in practice. We'll see how he goes today. But another player who the Chargers would obviously love to have back. They did have Josh Palmer step up in last week's game against the Chiefs, but if he can't go, keep an eye out for Palmer to maybe step up as Justin Herbert's top target. Palmer had 9 targets in last week's game against the Chiefs. So some big names to watch there. Hopefully the Chargers get back McConkey, and Irving and Evans are good to go for the Bucs.
Zach, thanks, buddy. We appreciate you.
Yes, thanks a lot, guys. Have fun down there.
Thank you, brother.
We will. Let's talk Commanders. Couple of notes from the injury report. We'll be joined in a moment by Michael Phillips of the Richmonder, of course, Odyssey Richmond as well. Alvin Kamara was a full participant in practice today with an illness.
Okay. So he'd been missing for the last couple of days. Looks like he's back on the field. That is their weapon. He's great, by the way. He's got a little Le'Veon Bell to him in the way he kind of glides and slides around. He's got some other guys, too. He's a great pass catcher. He's quick. Never looks like he's in a hurry, but he moves quicker than everybody else. He is a really dynamic, really, really good football player.
They don't have many of those at this point with their
injuries.
That's
the weapon, yeah.
I mean, Jake Haener's going to get the start at quarterback, his first career start, second-year player, former fourth-round pick. I just saw his press conference clip that's making the rounds today, going pretty viral, where he said, he literally came out and said what I said earlier. He said, what do I have to lose? which is kind of a scary place to be if you're Washington. I'd rather play an undersized quarterback who doesn't have a ton of arm strength, who's got bad weaponry around him, who says, I got nothing to lose. He's a little engine who could. But it is somewhat ominous when a kid's going out there with the shot he's been waiting for his whole life, he feels prepared for, and he's just going to let it all hang out.
Indeed. I mean, as he said, nothing to lose. I think it's a good way to phrase it and kind of discuss it for him. This is all upside. If he doesn't play well, then he's in the same tier that he's always been. If he does, now all of a sudden you become that, whether it's a folk legend or whatever. I mean, Taylor Heinicke will never pay for a beer in the D.C. area again, right, if he wants it, because of what he did that time. So you do something like that, you become kind of that, you know, you get yourself a, I don't know, you become the radio broadcaster, you know, after your career. You open up a car dealership down here and everybody loves you because of what Jake Haner did in a small sample. So yeah, nothing but upside for him. I mean, he's in the league. Right now he's viewed a certain way, right? And it's not a, some guy with a pedigree that's fallen down. This is a guy climbing his, you know, up the ladder trying to make a career for himself.
Big storyline in this game, Marshawn Lattimore going to make his Commanders debut. Washington traded for the cornerback from New Orleans. It paid a pretty penny. I mean, they gave up a draft pick, third rounder. They normally aren't in the business of doing that. But it wasn't really just for this year. They did it for 2025, for 2026, and they will now get two seasons plus the one quarter of a year in this playoff run, hopefully, remaining. Lattimore's first opportunity against his old mates. Very nice matchup for him. He doesn't have to deal with Chris Olave. Marquez Valdes-Scantling, they like to put in the slot occasionally and send down the field. So he's going to get a matchup against what is basically a backup-type wide receiver on the outside. I like his chances to come out of this game having had a pretty strong first game for D.C.
You certainly hope so, right? Now, again, I've heard a couple folks even say, this is Deuce McAllister, said this yesterday on our airwaves with Beamich and Finley, that he's the best, talking about Lattimore, when he's challenged by a true honest-to-goodness number one, and he rises to that. And sometimes he can, board's not the right term, but we don't have a better one for it. He can maybe, you know, shrink into the background and not be on his P's and Q's quite as much when he doesn't feel that matchup. You're hoping that that pathology or that kind of MO goes away first game with a new team against your old team. That's what you want to do. He's already said this, and I saw a quote, I think Ben Standing posted it, where you're going, yeah, I want to show them. They traded me away, and now I'm here to shove it on them.
Here's a surprise from today's injury report that came out about 20 minutes ago. Daron Payne was not on the injury report the last 2 days. He did not practice at all today with a back injury. Now, that could be a spasm. That could be something small. Could be a nothing burger. You put some heat on it and it feels better. But he was a full participant on Wednesday and Thursday, mm-hmm. was not on the injury report at all, and today, because of some pain in his back, did not practice. Generally, if you're a DNP on a Friday, best-case scenario is you're a game-time decision on Sunday because there's a very light walkthrough tomorrow. They'll get on the plane around noon, one local, fly here to New Orleans. So all of a sudden, Daron Payne's status is in question. They have named their other D-tackle, Johnny Newton, a captain for this game. So keep an eye on him. One other note, Zane Gonzalez was back at practice again, the kicker, full participant two straight days. This is their third kicker they've used this season, but notable, they signed another kicker to their practice squad just in case. So that's Greg Joseph, the longtime Minnesota Viking, kicked for the Giants earlier this year. Greg Joseph's on the P squad.
Greg the leg.
I think just in case something happens with Zane Gonzalez, but it seems like for him, all systems are go. He's got an issue with his left foot, his plant foot. But after practicing again today, I'd imagine, barring some kind of setback, he would kick and Joseph would stay on the practice squad.
Yeah, so it seems to be this never-ending story. I mean, they went out and signed Brandon McManus a billion years ago, it seems like, to solve the carousel, to stop this from happening. And then, of course, we all know what happened. I'm not blaming anybody, just simply saying that's what happened. And they have been.
For those of you that have forgotten, it should be noted.
Yeah.
I mean, there were allegations that came up that he acted poorly and maybe even did something illegal. And there was assault and harassment allegations about a flight. There was an investigation. The league didn't find anything. Charges have subsequently been dropped. He's kicking now for the Green Bay Packers.
Yeah. And
he's been good for the Packers.
Of course he has. He's a good kicker. He's very solid. And so they were trying to avoid that. I totally understand. I'm not mad at anybody, just simply saying. The irony there is they signed McManus to avoid this.
Yeah.
And the this that they wanted to avoid is now happening to them as much or more than anybody else in the league.
They've had six kickers if you count their off-season starting kicker, you know, on the depth chart.
Yeah.
They've run through a half dozen of them now. This is one of those years.
It's one of them years.
Basically. I actually want to play the clip next segment from Jake Haner talking to the media today, the Saints quarterback, because it is this – little engine who could comment. It feels very Taylor Heineke-ish, which can be both ideal when you need a win going up against a guy like him, but also a little bit scary. We'll get to that next. That's your Beltway Blitz on Grant and Danny. We are live in New Orleans in the French Quarter at Hotel Monteleone. You are listening to The Fan.
Football fans, do you want to hear the whole unadulterated truth about where your team stands?
It's the most embarrassing film I have ever watched in my entire life.
Former NFL lineman Mark Schlereth gives his perspective on the top storylines and games on a weekly basis on the Stinkin' Truth Podcast.
You may get out of here with two sacks and a tackle for loss, but you're getting out with a bloody nose.
New episodes drop every Monday and Thursday.
It's going to be a street fight.
Make sure to subscribe on the Odyssey app or wherever you find your podcasts.
Live from New Orleans, we're Grant and Danny. You are listening to The Fan. We are 2 days away from football and potentially win number 9 on the season for Washington. 10 feels like the number that if they got there, they'd probably make the playoffs. If they could get to 11, we could start making some plans.
I mean, for the first time since 1991.
They have not won 11 games since the last year they won a Super Bowl, which was 1991.
Has every other team in the NFL won at least 11 games in that span in a season? Yes, is the answer. Washington's the only one. Them and the Wizards have kind of had this strange, same strange, weird, quirky streak where the Wizards have not won 50 games since I've been a human being, since I've been alive. They've not had a 50-win season. Every other team in the NBA has done it multiple times, most of them. And Washington, the foosball boys, have not won 11 games in a season since 91. Everybody else has done that.
Next stop for them, the Saints, and the guy standing in their way of win number 9 is quarterback Jake Haener from Fresno State. By the way, he looks tiny. Like, when I watched him, I'm like, this looks like a little kid running around.
Little Doug Flutie energy, kind of?
He's listed 6'1", 200. Don't let that confuse you.
He's not the rest.
He's just a little dude. You'll see tomorrow. I mean, this is the kind of guy that, like, when a defensive lineman falls on him, you lose him. You're like, is he under there? Where did this guy go? Kind of quick. He's got some moves. I think he's going to scramble a little bit. He's 25 years old. But we were joking earlier about his opportunity coming, and this happens so often. I feel bad for players who wait their whole lives for, like, maybe the one chance that you get. And his chance does not come with him getting to throw to Chris Olave or, you know, hand to Kamara after a full week of practice. It's like Kamara, who will play but coming off of an illness where he didn't practice with Haener all week long. They're just completely busted up on the line. I mean, the team's in shambles, yeah. Right? But here's his chance. And this was him at a press conference today meeting with reporters. I want you guys to hear what he said, because this is kind of exactly what we were talking about. He can let it all hang out.
Right.
I mean, there's nothing for him to lose.
Listen, I'm going to be confident. I'm going to let it rip. You know, I feel like I've worked too hard to go in there, you know, with that mentality of, oh, don't screw up. You know, sure. I've been preparing for this. I'm going to do everything I can. This is a must-win game. But if you look at it, 5-8, what do I have to lose, right? No, seriously, like, what do I have to lose? I might never get an opportunity to start a game again. I'm going to show everybody what I'm capable of doing, and let the guys know that I'm confident in doing that. You go and you win this game, things can change. So I think it's just a 1-0 mentality. Beat the Commanders and show everybody what, you know, Jake Haener can do on Sunday.
What a great clip.
Love that answer.
If you're a Saints fan, I mean, seriously, like, that is unsettling. As a Commanders fan, to hear a guy that's in complete control.
In let it rip mode.
He's very confident, and he basically lays it all on the table. He's like, my teammate, I mean, I'm going to paraphrase a little bit now, but he goes, we have nothing to lose. We're bad. Nobody thinks I'm going to play well. And if I go out and we win, everything changes. He knows that. His life will change overnight. If you go out and play good football in your first start and the Saints win, the guys in the locker room buy in a little bit. They look at you a little differently. The Saints obviously do. And you could all of a sudden be in the conversation to be their starter, not only for the final month, but maybe to get to compete this offseason.
Yeah, going to the Chase Daniel tier of quarterbacking, right, where you're making millions of dollars over the lifetime of multiple contracts, and then, you know, then you get a media gig. I mean, seriously, I'm not even being flippant about it. Like, to me,
why couldn't he get a starting op? He's a fourth-round pick. One for one at that point.
I was just saying, that's the floor, right? Your floor is you have a great career versus now you're in a completely expendable, second or third quarterback tier afterthought. Maybe if you know somebody slips on a banana peel in training camp, I'll bring you in. There's plenty of those guys available, you know, like the Jerron Hamden tier. You know what I mean? Like, you can move up dramatically with that, with a performance against the team that's got everything to play for. You know, and talking about Washington. So, yeah, I mean, those are always kind of scary. It's the cornered animal that's like, you know, this is fighting for survival time. This is his league survival, and that's on the table.
Well, it's kind of Friday Night Lightsy to me.
Isn't it? Yeah, little Matt Saracen action.
That felt a little bit like a speech in a movie. But that won't get him first downs. Like, I remember the greatest Friday press conference by a quarterback I've heard in recent history was Mark Sanchez, mm-hmm. right after Washington brought him in and said he was going to start against the Giants. Mm-hmm. And he had this presser. We played it on the show and everything short of high-fiving each other about how amazing that was and what a great opportunity for him. And he's viewing this as one last shot in the NFL. Like, 3 weeks later, he'd be in a Fox booth.
Yeah.
It went so badly. They got beat something like 45-7 or whatever by the Giants.
It was such a woodshedding.
It was one of the most embarrassingly awful December home games. And this could be the thing for the Saints. Like, Hayner as the great presser says all the right things. It sounds awesome. I can hear those clips with some music behind him coming into like a pregame show on the Saints radio network. People are fired up going to the game. He's in let it rip mode, as you just called it. And then you go out and you throw a couple of early picks and you go, oh, yeah, this is why Jake Hayner was our third-string quarterback. This is why this guy went in the fourth round. This is why no one saw him as a starter, because the actual playing part is the hardest part.
Yeah, you know, that whole NFL quarterback thing that's claimed many with a much better pedigree, frankly, than Jake Hayner. No disrespect, but, like, first-round picks have failed. Top-level guys on multiple teams in different situations have failed at this thing. And you already said this. The setting he's walking into, on paper, week one New Orleans Saints, if Derek Carr had a I don't know, couldn't play in week one or two or something like that, then, okay, you got Olave, you got Kamara, you got Taysom Hill, you got outlets, you got Rashid Shaheed going deep over the top, you got a few pieces. They don't have anything right now. It ain't fair, but this is pro sports.
Mahomes, or you put Josh Allen on this team, they'd have some success and they'd do some decent things.
Right, but that's not a fair standard.
What I'm saying is, over 17 games,
yeah,
it's maybe a 9-win team, and they would have one of the worst years of their career. Because the group around him that's dragging him into the fight tomorrow is just not very good.
Yeah.
I'm sorry, respectfully.
It's not.
Cedric Wilson is a fifth receiver in a good situation who's kind of trying to keep his career going at this point. He's going to be starting for the Saints tomorrow. Kevin Austin. I don't know that person. Marquez Valdez-Scantling.
We know him.
Has bounced all over the place and has found something that's working here. But MVS, if you look at his success and he's had some good games, like, it was when they caught teams by surprise, largely. I think the last couple of weeks, since his breakouts, you've seen a different situation where two catches for 26 yards, two catches for 36 yards, you know, whatever it is. It's not quite been the same. When he broke onto the scene with them and he had the 87 yards and a touchdown against the Browns, week before that he had the monster catches against Atlanta in his debut, I think people have kind of wised up now to, all right, if he's lined up in this formation and you get this look, let's make sure we bracket coverage or keep a safety over top of him because mm-hmm. they're sending him deep.
Well, because they're basically going YOLO, right? Where, in other words, like, we can't matriculate. We don't have the pieces to run 10, 11, 11, 12, 13 play drives. Let's see if we get a pass interference or maybe get one over the top to MVS for something, right? I mean, like, now the teams are onto it, I would challenge them. I'd say, why don't you guys go ahead and execute?
Please.
Let's take 12 plays and you guys can march right down the field on us.
Remember the beginning of the season? They
46 a game, Grant.
They did what Washington did before mm-hmm. Washington. What I mean by that is the story we had about the no-punt offense, where the Commanders were doing was it three games where they punted once?
Yeah.
I'm pretty sure.
Or didn't punt at all.
They had two in a row where they didn't, but I think maybe they punted once in three games. The Saints were they did that before it was cool.
Yeah.
They went two straight games this year, weeks one and two, without a punt. And in fact, they had gone, I think it was 11 drives in a row with points, or maybe it was 12. And Washington ended up surpassing that and having 13 or 14, something like that, without a punt where they got into field goal range. But the Saints did that in weeks one and two when everybody was healthy, when, you know, they had their offseason plan kind of exactly as they wanted it with Clint Kubiak, who I'm sure will be one of their head coaching candidates. I mean, this is not a good head coaching vacancy.
No.
Their cap situation's awful.
Like, they need to tear down before they start building. They're not even in a building phase yet. I mean,
I agree.
Their cap situation stinks.
I'll bet you they end up either keeping Darren Rizzi, who's their interim coach that everybody seems to like, or maybe you go give, like, a retread coach that wouldn't have gotten another job an opportunity. Like, you know, Dan Quinn as an example here, who's done a very, very good job, full compliments to him, but he wanted a head coaching job and wasn't sure that he was going to get another one. And, I mean, you can make the case for Washington. He was their second or their third choice, and maybe it ended up working out very well. A guy like that, and I don't know what that looks like. I mean, is there anyone that comes to mind where you would go, probably wouldn't have thought that guy will get another job, but maybe he takes the Saints gig. Like, that's why I thought, honestly, Belichick may end up here. That's not going to happen now because he's at North Carolina.
But, I mean, the thing you need first now probably is that culture-changing guy who's, you know, going to mean-mug everybody and kick out the bad elements. The guy that comes to mind for me is Vrabel for that, right? Like, to go from an also-ran to something mild and okay.
Would Vrabel take this job as a bad job?
I think this last offseason changed some things for guys. Like, Belichick's coaching UNC. Vrabel didn't get hired, and teams weren't really that interested. So I think maybe you don't get to thumb your nose at stuff anymore. I mean, if you're an OC with a flat top who's a younger millennial, you do. But I don't know that the guys that, you know, have kind of gone through this ringer in this process are going to be as reluctant to take things, knowing you're going to struggle for a year or two.
I think Vrabel will be in demand. I think he'll get several interviews and a job somewhere else that's better. I'm going to say, like Darius just said, what about Arthur Smith? Someone like that is interesting.
That's one.
To me. I even think, I mean, maybe I'm crazy. I think if I'm Arthur Smith, I wouldn't take this job. Now, maybe you have to, because to your point, it's at some point, like, are you going to get another gig? I just think this is a brutal job.
It's a bad job right now.
Because it's going to be 2 or 3 years of gutting the payroll and kind of building this thing back up. And there's no quarterback of the future on the horizon. Maybe if Jake Haener balls out Sunday, please God, don't let that happen. And then he goes on to have like another 2 or 3 good games after that.
You know what I don't want?
Maybe he could be like that would be the Cousins going into like 2015 or something, where you feel like, okay, maybe you've got this like random quarterback who could start for you or whatever.
Well, I reference this all the time. Remember that, like, it was like the Giants were 0-2 one of the years they won the Super Bowl, and Washington had 4 chances inside the 2-yard line, and Adell Betts got stuffed, and Portis got stuffed.
Yeah, they were wearing their yellow pants with the white jerseys and the red R.
And basically, like, saved New York season, prevented people from getting fired, and they go on to win the damn Super Bowl. Like, I referenced that loss for, like, a decade afterwards. It's one of those, like, type, you know, horrible gut punch memories that's, like, extra layers of poison. What I don't want is, like, 10 years from now, you know who Jake Haener got his first big start against before he became a superstar? It was Washington. He wasn't on anybody's radar. And then he had this amazing game against Washington. They were actually fighting for a playoff spot that year. I think they had the best wild card, if memory serves. And anyway, Haener balls out. Next thing you know, he's a star, and Washington made him that way. I don't want that. I want him to go, respectfully, seems like a very nice guy, go back to your home. Go back to the anonymity, please. I want people to not have heard of Jake Haener in 3 weeks' time.
Here's a question that I want to pose on the phones. We have not really taken many calls today. By design, we're out here in New Orleans. We've been busy with a lot of the Commanders news of the day. But I do want to touch the people on this and take some temperatures. Does Jake Haener starting make you more nervous or more confident? Like, when you hear him at the presser doing his, like, I got nothing to lose, man. I'm just going out there. I'm confident. These guys will see. I'm Jake Haener. I'm the starting quarterback in this league. Nobody knows it yet, but you're about to find out. Like, when you hear that, I would still rather play that guy every time than Derek Carr. Like, I could go to the podium, have a hell of a Friday presser. You ask me to make plays on Sunday, it ain't going to happen. So I would rather play the guy that I think is probably less skilled overall. So I'm more confident because he's playing, but I'm sure there are Commanders fans out there that go, I don't want the Colt McCoy against the Cowboys thing.
Yeah, you know one. He's sitting in the room with you.
800-636-1067 is the number if you want to join us on Grant and Danny. Grant and Danny welcoming you back in New Orleans, French Quarter. Got a nice dinner planned tonight over at Redfish.
Oh, yes, sir.
We will be at Brennan's tomorrow night.
Yep.
There will be food on this trip, I believe, is what we're figuring out. Daniel Day-Lewis once starred in a movie about food, and I think the title was There Will Be Food.
Yeah, his character Daniel Plainview went around to different places eating food. Yeah. The entire premise of the movie was like this: one person has some food, you see, and I'm going to eat your plate. I'll use my big fork and reach over and eat your food, see.
I am way
you
more
sleep with my Daniel Plainview impression, by the way. Everyone in the room does. Go ahead.
It was pretty good.
Thank you. I mean,
I'll give you that. I'm way more confident in beating the Saints because Jake Haener's playing.
Mm-hmm.
I'm not sitting here telling you Derek Carr would light up Washington, but there's just less confusion when a pro who's been in as many games as Carr has, who's seen as many things as him, is controlling an offense. I think you can mix and match in the back end and confuse Haener, who's only thrown 29 career passes. I think you could bring some exotic blitzes that confuse him. There's going to be times where guys come free. I think you're going to see Frankie Louvu a couple of times in the A-gap, just coming untouched up the middle or off the edge. And he's just not going to be able to make all the adjustments that I think are necessary early in his career. We're talking about start number one. So I'm more confident. But, man, the way he carries himself, I understand why someone might say in a house money game for his career that never was supposed to happen, it makes you a little bit antsy.
Oh, yeah, I'm less confident. I know over a season he won't perform as well as the great quarterbacks. Duh, right? I mean, I get that. There's a reason he's not Josh Allen, an MVP candidate, or Lamar Jackson, or Pat Mahomes, or any of the other superstars that are around. In a small sample, this is what the backup quarterback can do. They can behave and be a stud. If you're a Dallas Cowboy fan, you're calling into 105.3 to Sean and RJ going, I can't wait to play Colt McCoy. Oh, I can't wait. That noodle arm zilch. Hey, oh, I can't wait. They're going to intercept him five times and win. And then he wins that game on Monday Night Football where he's like a folk hero still in Washington forever. There were people 5 years later that's like, you know who they should start? It's Colt McCoy because he beat Dallas that night. Everyone should be freaking out. Like, this is the story that happens. Again, he's not the answer. He ain't it. Now, maybe it turns out that he is, whatever. You can play this, and all it takes to expose myself. But for the most part, you do this over a month or 2 months or seasons. Word gets out. They figure it out. Nobody's figured it out yet. There's no tape. There's no, like, I know what to do here. I know what's going to bother him. I know what he likes to do or doesn't like to do. This is all seat of your pants, figure it out, and just kind of hope that it works out. I'd feel way better. Not better. I'd feel differently. I'll get nervous for any game. But if this was like a journeyman backup, like this was Marcus Mariota, or like a journeyman backup, right, that had been around that we've got plenty of data points on. But the fact is, it's like Mystery Marty who's like, look at my eyes. I got nothing to lose, man. Look at me. Nothing to lose. And you're like, oh, my God, that's actually a little scary.
You're like, you're making me nervous.
Right? I'm a little nervous here, Jake Haener.
I looked up Jake Haener's rushing stats during the break because I mentioned that, like, he ripped off a couple of these long scrambles that I saw in the preseason.
Uh-huh.
He never ran the ball in college at all, really. Like, his final year at Fresno State, he had 46 attempts for negative 123 yards.
That doesn't sound real good.
Which just means it's like they're counting sacks as runs
yeah.
and stuff.
Yeah, college stats kind of different.
So weird. Dumb. So he averaged minus 3 yards per carry, theoretically.
It's not great rushing.
So that's not really a thing. But I'm telling you, I am betting, if there's a FanDuel bet, or like longest Jake Haener run, and it's like 9.5, I will take the over. He'll get out of the pocket, and he's going to deliver one scramble for 15 or 18 yards. But in his college career, in 2021, 33 touchdowns and 9 picks. And in 2022, 20 touchdowns and 3 picks. He didn't really turn the ball over. He protected it pretty well. His final couple years of college, 53 tutties and 12 interceptions. Let's go to the phones. Steve's in Chesapeake. Are you more confident or nervous with Jake Haener, who's given the great pep talk to the media today about how he's ready for his opportunity?
Hey, guys. How's it going?
Good, buddy.
Good, bud.
Hey, first, let me start off with this. Danny.
Yeah.
Not too sure what you're doing right now, but I need you to smile, bud. Like, I follow Grant on Instagram.
Yeah.
I saw his picture of y'all on the plane.
Huh.
Everybody
oh, that's
looks like they're having a good time. Ready to go to the Big Easy. Danny's just sitting there looking like he's about to go to a live show at the Teletubbies with his baby or something like that.
I mean, yeah, like it's, I'm going to get my tooth pulled. I get, man, travel, like, what, and then my wife, this makes my wife angry, too. Like, when we were going on vacation, we traveled last year Thanksgiving to Scotland, right? Trip of a lifetime. This amazing thing, this gift we gave to my mother-in-law, the whole family. on board, you would have thought I was like, all right, everyone, we're going to go get our teeth pulled with no Novocaine. Like, that's like, I can't do travel real well. When we're there, I'm grinning, I'm cheesing. I've already had a beignet today. I got a cup of coffee right now.
Go.
I'm eating dinner tonight. I'm good to go, I promise. But it's also I'm doing a little bit of shtick for Grant's IG because it's all for the Grant. You know what I'm saying?
There was no shtick. That was the face he was making.
It's also the face I was making.
5 hours of travel.
That is true. Both are true.
As long as y'all are having a good time, the Big Easy, that's all that matters.
Indeed.
Yes, sir.
I don't know if you guys remember not too long ago, about 4 years ago, there's a guy at award number four that made Tampa Bay sweat a little bit in the playoffs.
Yep.
It could happen. Old Hanger the Gamer could come in and rip it up a little bit. He could make a sweat. I think
he's
going to win, but he could come up there and make a sweat. He ain't got nothing to lose. He just came off the couch like Heineke. Hey, man.
Hanger the Gamer. It's pretty good. I like that. Thanks, buddy. I think there are Heineke. Appreciate the call.
Thanks, bro.
I think there are Heineke vibes here.
That's exactly what it is.
Like, that's what I'm feeling. Is there's a little bit of Taylor Heineke thing. Now, I will sign up to play Taylor Heineke every single time. That's the difference between me and I think a lot of Commanders fans. Like, that's a gift when you get to play against Taylor Heineke. Doesn't make me more nervous. Makes me more confident. What about Jeff in Fort Washington? What's up, Jeff? How are you?
Hey, guys. Hope all is going well. I hope you guys are enjoying New Orleans down there.
Yes,
hey,
sir.
Danny, or I should say, I'm sorry, Grant, to your point, I would sign up to take him 100 out of 100 times. If the choice is, do I take on Jake or anyone else with experience, I'll take Jake. Danny, you mentioned that Colt McCoy game. I was at that game in Dallas, and I can tell you, sir, this is no Colt McCoy. So I'll sign up for him. And you know, to quote the great philosopher Mike Tyson, everybody has a plan until you get hit in the face. So he can talk all he wants to tonight, but I'll take him 100 out of 100 times.
Appreciate the phone call,
buddy.
Yeah, I mean, Colt McCoy, second-round pick, was immediately kind of a starter in Cleveland. Very, very different thing, I'd say, coming out of Texas than Jake Haener, who no one's heard of and went to Fresno State. But it was a hell of a press conference. If you want to chime in on him and just those quotes and how confident he sounds, 800-636-1067 is the number. Who's got to be great for the Commanders to go back to D.C. on Sunday night, not just with a win, but with a convincing win that makes us feel like after the Titans and the Saints game that they are big back. We'll get to that next on The Fan. We'll also catch up with Jeff Nowak, the Saints sideline reporter, to scout the opponent as we continue on Grant and Danny.